Go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy to get 20% off your first month of cognitive behavioural therapy, with weekly sessions online with a therapist, in addition to worksheets, a journal, meditation and yoga videos, and unlimited messaging. There's strong evidence that CBT can help people who hoard, and accessing therapy online can be affordable and accessible. Find out more and get your discount at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Bowl and Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel. And it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code BUTTERY20. So hurry to bowlandbranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details.
Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep as somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all my social media, at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I'm just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. So I'm going to start today with a new segment. Now, as you know, if you've listened before, I sometimes have little extra bits like a success of the week and a weird dilemma of the week. And I sometimes share a new review I've received, and I sometimes share a secret that somebody has sent me. And I quite like that I do those randomly. I quite like the unpredictability of it. And also, it works better than forcing myself to include them all every week, because I feel like, say I felt obliged to have a success and a weird dilemma every week. If I hadn't had a weird dilemma that week, I would be forced to either make one up or share one that wasn't that weird or that interesting or that much of a dilemma. And so that just wouldn't be good for anybody. So I quite like that those sections pop up when they seem relevant rather than out of obligation. And I had a revelation about a new segment, and that will be my occasional Revelation of the Week segment.
Ooh.
So I realized I do, you know, when you have a revelation, you suddenly understand something that you've never understood, or something suddenly makes sense to you, or you have just a great idea. And these are things that I couldn't necessarily make a whole episode about, but I think are worth mentioning. And so the inaugural Revelation of the Week starts here. So whenever this podcast comes out, I have to do various things before it can go live. So I have to obviously plan it and record it and then edit the audio. And then I always also transcribe the episode. It's really important to me to do that because I think it's important that if somebody is deaf or hard of hearing, they have access to the same information as people who can hear the podcast, but also some people just prefer to take in information in written form, or other people might want to read the transcript as they listen. I know some people do that. And so it's important to me to make the podcast equitable, to always publish a transcript when I publish the podcast. So for each new podcast episode, I put it on my website at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. And so on the website is, I embed the latest podcast episode. I put all the links, which is what's known as the show notes. So any links I've mentioned, I put links to subscribe to the podcast, all of that stuff, and I put the transcript. Now, I quite often, because I listen to a lot of podcasts as well as making this, I quite often see people publish an episode and say, like, transcript soon, the transcript will come soon. And I'm glad they're making a transcript, but it feels important to me for my podcast that the transcript comes out at the same time as the episode. And that's partly because, again, I don't want deaf and hard of hearing people to have a worse experience with the podcast than people who can hear it. But also, I know that if I don't have a strict rule about it, if I say to myself, well, I'll hit publish now the audio is ready and then I'll transcribe it when I have the chance, I would get a backlog, and I know that I would, you know, I'd start to lose the impetus to do it. So as well as it being important in principle for me to publish the transcript at the same time as the audio, it's important in order to keep on top of it. And this is where my revelation of the week came from, because doing the transcript is important to me, but it's also a bit of a pain. It takes ages. And also it means I have to listen to the audio yet again at the point at which I'm absolutely sick of the sound of my own voice, because I've recorded it and then edited it as well by then. So it's a bit of a pain, but it's important, so I do it. And this is where the revelation came in, because it shows me that if the final bit of a task is a bit of a pain, I can still do it. So the example that came to mind was like laundry. I don't have any particular mental blocks putting clothes in the washing machine. And I sometimes do that thing where clothes go through the wash and then sit in the washing machine for 2 weeks. But I'm reasonably good at getting the clothes out of the washing machine and hanging them up to dry once they're washed. Where I always trip over is then putting the dried clothes away. And I have any number of excuses for that. One is that it's quite difficult to get to my wardrobe, and so I don't really have an away for clothes. That's improving-ish, but that's one reason/excuse, if I'm honest, because even if I can't put things in the wardrobe, that doesn't mean they can't have a home, and it doesn't mean that I don't have to take responsibility for what happens to clothes once they've been washed and dried. So the other reason I give for not putting clothes where they're supposed to be once they've been washed and dried is I just can't. I can do the washing, I can do the drying, I just can't do the next bit. And sure, there may well be legitimate reasons for that mental block, but thinking of it like the transcript of the podcast, putting the clothes where they're meant to be is like the important final step of a process. And the process isn't complete without it. And if I don't have a rule about doing it straight away, then I start to get a backlog and it never quite gets done. And those are two very parallel situations. If I don't do the transcript straight away and I don't have a deadline for it, it might not get done. Same with putting washing away. I don't really enjoy doing the transcript. It's quite difficult, but it's important. Same with putting the washing away. And so my revelation of the week, my inaugural revelation of the week, is that I can do a home-related task I don't really enjoy because it's important in order to consider the task completed.
Ooh.
I can do it. And much as my brain goes, I can't, there's no real reason I can't. And so if I can complete one task that's a bit of a pain because it's important, then my revelation is that I can complete other tasks that are a bit of a pain but important. I hope that makes sense. So I also got a new review. Thank you to The Greater Goods, who left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts Canada. And they said, so grateful. Just a few episodes in, but I'm so, so grateful to have found this podcast. It's exactly what I needed, especially since in real life, resources are hard to find and expensive. Not too scary, kind vibes, so wise, even occasionally funny and lighthearted, which makes it all seem more doable. I already recognise so many of my habits and feel relieved to know I'm not alone. Love the interview episodes especially, and the host's voice is so wonderful. Thank you so much, The Greater Goods. Everybody's so kind and I really appreciate it. I'm glad you like my voice. Fun fact, I was offered a job on a sex line when I was younger, purely on the basis of my voice. I didn't take the job. And yet, one reason the podcast feels important is because in real life, resources, as you say, are hard to find and they're expensive. And so I hope that by talking about my experience and by interviewing experts, we're able to get some of this knowledge and information out in a way that people can access either in addition to in real life support or when that isn't available to them. So thank you. I appreciate it. So today I am going to talk about vicious cycles or vicious circles. I find myself stuck in many a vicious cycle with hoarding. It's a real problem on a day-to-day level. So what if you're not familiar with this idea? A vicious cycle is you get stuck in a cycle, in like a loop, where everything you do reinforces and strengthens everything else you do, and it's really, really negative. So, for instance, if you're very depressed, so you can't motivate yourself to do anything about your surroundings, so the depression causes inactivity, and then because you can't motivate yourself to do anything about your surroundings, you feel like you're letting yourself down, you beat yourself up, and that makes you feel more depressed. And so you've got a cycle there. Depression causes inactivity. Inactivity causes depression. Another vicious cycle that I find has a big impact on my life, I'm always having to challenge this one, is that I can't move around easily everywhere in my house. So I feel that I have to keep everything within reach because I can't get to things in certain areas of my house. So I have to keep everything within reach. And then because I have to keep everything within reach, I can't move around easily because everything is within reach. And so I get stuck in that cycle. Another one is if you're a perfectionist, I suspect you might relate to this one. If you're a perfectionist, you feel like you have to do things perfectly, because you feel you've probably got low self-esteem and you feel like you'll be a good person or you'll be a worthwhile person if you can do this thing perfectly. And then because very few people can do anything perfectly, you invariably can't live up to your own high standards. And so that reinforces the idea that you're a terrible person who can't do anything right. And so that causes low self-esteem that tells you that you have to do things perfectly in order to be a valid, worthwhile person. And you can see how each step in each of those cycles just perpetuates the other step. And so we kind of spiral downwards because we can't, or we feel we can't get out of the cycle. We're stuck in this vicious circle and, you know, don't know how to get out of it. And the thing with vicious cycles, by definition, is that you're setting yourself up to fail. If I continue to put everything I own within reach, I will continue to find it difficult to move around my home, and I will continue to put things within reach. It's if you can't step out of the cycle, there's very little you can do to improve it. And it feels hopeless. It can feel hopeless. Sometimes recognizing the cycle is enough to be able to challenge your own thoughts or your own behavior and get out of it. But sometimes, even when you can see the cycle, like, I'm too depressed to cook a decent meal, and then because I'm not eating properly, my mood doesn't improve, and so I'm still too depressed to cook a decent meal. That kind of cycle, if you're aware of it, but you still can't break out of it, it feels really hopeless, which perpetuates the cycle. It's such a difficult one because you feel trapped. And so the first thing to do with vicious cycles is just to recognize them. I say just as if that's easy, but to try and have a look at different parts of your life, especially with regard to hoarding, but, you know, anywhere really, where these cycles exist. Try and identify the cycle, because if you understand what's going on, that puts you in a better position to start to address it. So you might have vicious circles that you're already aware of in your own lives, or it might be that you have vicious circles that you haven't identified yet, but that you start to spot once you become aware of the concept. I read one article that called it doom looping, which I quite liked. It does feel like a doom loop. So the features of a vicious circle are that you have a problem. And when you look at the causes of that problem and the consequences of that problem, they all feed each other, basically. And I often find the best way to really identify what's going on with a vicious cycle is to write it down with arrows indicating what's causing what. So I will have the word overwhelm, and then underneath that, the word inaction, with an arrow from overwhelm to inaction, and then an arrow from the word inaction back to the word overwhelm. That's a very clear, to me, two-step vicious cycle. I'm overwhelmed by the state of my house, and so that overwhelm leads me to do nothing. And then because I do nothing, I continue to be overwhelmed, and it perpetuates itself in a doom loop. Some vicious cycles have more steps than that. Some have 3, 4, but the common theme is that when you write it all down in a circle or in a triangle or in a square, the arrows go round in a loop. So the thing that causes the problem is worsened by the consequence of the problem. And so it's definitely useful to grab a big piece of paper, and as you may have discovered, there's a bit of a theme in my life of having a problem and grabbing a big piece of paper, but it's genuinely helpful to see these things in front of you rather than just store them all in your head. There's some extra clarity I find in seeing these things written down. And so once you've identified one or more vicious circles that are stopping you, step back a bit and look at them. Try and look at them a bit more objectively. take out any self-recrimination, take out any blame, take out, there's a vicious cycle, therefore I'm rubbish. That doesn't help anybody. Just look at them and say, okay, that's what's happening. Observe what's going on. Be curious, as Jan would say. And then the trick to kind of breaking out of a vicious cycle is to identify at least one point in that cycle that is changeable. So some things aren't changeable that will come up in your vicious cycles. Say you are physically disabled and there are certain tasks that it takes you a long time to do, and that forms part of your vicious cycle. You can't change the fact that you are physically disabled, but one changeable point in that cycle is that you can change how much time you allow yourself to do a task. So look at the cycle you've written down and see which bits could change, which bits could be different. You can't necessarily move house, for instance, but you can use your storage differently, that kind of thing. And it could be that the bit that's changeable, it's not always a quick fix. It's not like, okay, I will just allocate an extra half hour to that task and then it's all fine. Sometimes it is that. Other times it's a longer term change, but you have to start a longer term change sometime. So why not now? If the changeable bit will take time and consistency, again, start now. And then look at what causes the changeable bit. Can you change the cause? It's often about finding the cue, as in C-U-E, not as in a long line of British people. finding what happens right before a difficult bit in the cycle, especially if there's a kind of automatic behaviour or an automatic assumption that your brain jumps to. If you can work out what trips that switch to make that thought or behaviour happen, that also can really help you interrupt your vicious cycle. Is there a theme? Is it that you feel worse about yourself after you speak to your mum on the phone? Is it that you feel more miserable on days where you've had a bad night's sleep? Is it that when your period is due, you are less able to discard things? Look at cues. And again, some of those will be changeable. Some won't be changeable. And some are things you can perhaps address in a long-term way, but that aren't immediate fixes. So if you feel worse after a bad night's sleep, and the reason you had a bad night's sleep is because you had too much caffeine, then that is something that is pretty easily changeable and a quick fix. So if your cue is something like that, that's quite quick and easy to fix. If your cue is that a conversation with your mum makes you feel bad about yourself, that's something that you can start to address, but is not a quick fix. And that might well involve some kind of therapy. It might, depending on circumstances, involve speaking to your mum less, or changing, you know, the way you relate to your mum. If the cue is something that you can't change, that you're stuck with, then that happens. And that's just part of the picture. It's not the only bit of the cycle you can interrupt. But basically, it's another part of the story. And the clearer you can make the story for yourself, the more you can understand your situation. And so what we've got there is we've got the cycle mapped out, and we've also got some of the cues that can prompt the cycle to start or that can worsen the cycle. And so it's back to this idea of what's changeable, because the changeable bits are the bits you can change. So if part of your vicious cycle is panic attacks, let's say. Now, that's something that is changeable. It's certainly addressable, but in the long term. It's not a quick fix, but it's something you can start to look at now with a view to improving in the long term. But if your cue, if what triggers the panic attack is something changeable, like say you have a panic attack because at the end of the day, your boss says, I want to have a conversation with you tomorrow, and you spend the whole night in a panic, not knowing if you're about to be fired. Maybe what makes that changeable is you can say to your boss, in future, obviously I'm happy to have conversations with you when I need it, when we need to, but the way that was handled made me really anxious. Could we perhaps in future either have the conversation straight away, or could you give me an outline of what we're going to talk about? Something like that. If you have chronic insomnia, that's addressable in the long term. But if the cause is, again, too much caffeine, or if the cause is, as a meme I once saw said, a really good book and inadequate respect for tomorrow, they are things you can change right now. There are things you can change today. And so some of the things that will come up in these cycles are immovable. They just are. Other things can shift. Other things you can fix now. And the bits you need to be looking at are, what can you fix now? No caffeine after 4 p.m., for instance. Which are the bits you might want to start talking about to your therapist, or you might want to start journaling about, or you might want to start reading books about, say, panic attacks, and starting to address both of those categories, the quick fixes and the medium or long-term fixes. And then when you know what can be changed, make a plan to start changing them. It's quite common, I think, to say, okay, yes, so what I need to change is this and this, and then not change it. And so just having the awareness isn't enough, unfortunately. I wish it was.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But what can you alter? Maybe you really just like a cup of tea at the end of the day, and that's the caffeine issue. So what you can alter is you can buy decaf tea. May I recommend decaf Yorkshire tea? It's very nice. Maybe the thing that you can change is, if you're struggling with energy because you're struggling to eat healthily, maybe you can give yourself a break and buy some healthy ready meals, even if you prefer home cooking. If you're really stuck where you have no energy because you can't cook healthy food, and then you can't cook healthy food because you haven't got any energy, maybe as an interim measure, you can buy some microwavable, really nutritious, wholesome food. And it may not be ideal, but it will nudge you in the right direction. And also set in place some rewards if you can. Now, these don't have to be big. They don't have to be dramatic. That's not sustainable. It's not realistic. But little rewards. Maybe at the end of completing something, you can give your best friend a ring. Maybe at the end of doing a big de-hoarding session, you can get a takeaway delivered. That kind of thing can really help to motivate you in a way that can help you to just nudge yourself out of the vicious cycle. Even on, I think it was the episode about habits with Jan, she talked about even just like doing a bit of a fist pump can be enough of a reward to tell your brain, oh, okay, this is great. And I found an app, which I will link to in the show notes, and I will link to the habits episode as well. It's well worth a listen. But I found an app that you just press a button and it does a big cheer, or you press a button and you get applause. And it's silly, but it can just give you a tiny little boost, and that can help keep you going. And always remember that it doesn't have to be big, dramatic changes. Small changes can really help to just derail a pattern of thoughts or a pattern of behaviour that is otherwise really getting in your way. And especially when you think about this really entrenched vicious cycle that you're thinking of, it might not take much to destabilise that cycle and knock you out of it. And then when you've worked out some new things you can do that can help to knock you out of that cycle, knock you off course, but in a good way, reinforce them if you can, again with a bit of a fist pump, again with a bit of a reward. And because you've written down your various vicious cycles and you can continue to do that as they occur to you, you can also now you've identified the changeable bits, maybe you want to put a circle around the changeable bits, maybe in different colours according to how easily changeable they are, though that may just be me. You can also use that illustration to draw arrows out of the cycle, showing the different nudges and the different ideas and the different things you're going to try to do to interrupt the cycle and get out of your own way. And it may be as you write down, say, 4 or 5 vicious circles that you've identified in your own life, that there are themes coming up again and again and again and again. And if that's the case, that says to me that that's something that really, really needs addressing. If low mood or low self-esteem, for instance, are coming up in 4 out of your 5 vicious circles, then that's something to take really seriously, because it's interrupting your life in a tangible way. And that, I think, is motivation to try even harder to do something about it. And I know, of course, that the more entrenched something like that is, the harder it is to address, and the more you feel like you're a terrible person, the less inclined you are to try and cheer up, because you're a terrible person. Why would I deserve better? Because I'm awful. Or the more depressed you are, the less you have the ability to do the things that take you out of your depression. It's another vicious cycle in itself. But when something comes up in one vicious cycle, it needs to be addressed. When it comes up in multiple vicious cycles, that's really, really time to start looking at taking action. So that is some ways to interrupt a vicious cycle. But I also looked up, what's the opposite of a vicious cycle? And the opposite of a vicious cycle is a virtuous cycle, or a virtuous circle. And so the Collins Dictionary says, if you describe a situation as a virtuous circle, you mean that once one good thing starts happening, other things happen, which cause the first thing to continue happening. So think of the same illustration with two, three, four things and an arrow from one to the next, to the next, to the next, back to the start again. So it might be that you wake up feeling quite perky, and so you go for a walk in nature and that really cheers you up even more. And then because that cheers you up, you wake up the next day feeling quite chipper. And because you're feeling quite chipper, you go for another walk. And those are things that reinforce each other in exactly the same way as a vicious cycle, but positively. You feel good, so you do something that makes you feel good. So you feel good, so you do more things that make you feel good. And like with vicious circles, virtuous circles rely on momentum. And this is momentum you don't want to interrupt. You want to interrupt vicious circle momentum. When you have virtuous circles going on, you want to encourage that momentum, or at the very least, allow it to happen. Even if you don't actively encourage it, just say, yeah, I'm going to let this happen. I know it's a good thing in my life. And it doesn't have to be huge. You can start simple and small. It might be that you throw one bag of rubbish out in a month, but it makes you feel really good. You get a real sense of achievement because you threw it out. And that sense of achievement motivates you to the next month throw out another bag. And you get a real sense of achievement, and that motivates you to the following month throw out two bags. And that is a virtuous cycle that you can encourage and nurture. But also, as well as starting small and as well as allowing it to happen, when it's working, don't overthink it. I am such a chronic overthinker to a horrible degree. And sometimes when something's working well, I can overthink it to the point that it grinds to a halt or that I get in my own way. So I definitely think there's a role for, with a virtuous circle, if it's working, just let it work. Don't overanalyze it. Let it happen and go with the flow. Go with this flow. Interrupt the vicious flow. Go with the virtuous flow. So if you have any tips about getting out of a vicious cycle, let me know. Contact me, all my social media and email and everything you can find at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. So I am always fascinated by the secrets that we store inside us as hoarders. I have many. And it's based on shame and fear and embarrassment. And I know from you that you also have secrets. And so I wanted to give people a bit of an outlet for those secrets. And so I periodically ask listeners to send me their hoarding secrets, with a view to me talking about them on the podcast. And amazingly, you are doing so. And that is so brave, and I'm so proud of you. And they're anonymous. I've no idea who they come from. I just get your words. And if you want to share your secret with me anonymously that I can talk about on the podcast, you can do that at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/secret. And there's just one question on a form that says, what is your hoarding secret? And I want to read out this one secret I received that touched me in its simplicity. And I think it really highlights to me the kind of way we get stuck, and the way, even when we're open in some ways about hoarding, there are other things we just feel we can't talk about. And so this secret said, I don't know how long it has been since I last did laundry. I'm certain it must be more than a year ago. I haven't even told my therapist. Now, this really touched me in its simplicity, and also because I've been there. This is the kind of thing where even knowing that other people hoard, I didn't know that other people had got themselves in this particular pickle. And yeah, I was in a situation where it was, because of clutter, it was difficult to get to my washing machine. And so as things piled up in front of the washing machine and around the washing machine, and as it got harder, I nearly said harder, I'm so used to saying harder into this microphone, as it got harder to access the washing machine, I was just doing laundry less and less. I never one day said, I am not doing laundry from now on. I just did it less and less. And then, speaking of vicious cycles, actually, and then what would happen is obviously I would run out of clean clothes. So I would buy new clothes, either new or new to me from a charity shop, and wear those. And then I would run out of those being clean. And over time, I stopped using the washing machine and just kept buying new, or, you know, again, new to me. And the vicious circle, of course, is that that then meant I had more clutter. And often I would throw stuff that needed to be washed in the general direction of the washing machine, optimistically. But that just meant that the washing machine was even harder to access. So creating that cycle, I couldn't get to the washing machine, so I bought more clothes. That created more clutter. I put that clutter near the washing machine, and that meant I couldn't access the washing machine. That's where the cycle was. That's where I got stuck. And like many things with hoarding, it felt insurmountable. And I'm trying to think of what I did to get out of that cycle. I think the bit I started addressing first was this bad habit I'd got into of throwing dirty clothes in the general vicinity of the washing machine. I was aware that that was a big thing that was worsening the problem rather than improving it. And so I got just some big bags, and at the very least, dirty laundry went into the bags rather than there. And then I gradually started moving things away from the washing machine to make it more accessible, and then made progress in that way. And I don't know if the reason you're struggling with doing the laundry is because of clutter around your washing machine, or if it's something else, if it's some kind of mental block, or if it's that you don't have a washing machine in your home and you have to go to a laundrette and there are mental blocks there, or that that's difficult for you physically. I don't know how this, you know, has come about for you, but you say you haven't told your therapist, and the really good thing is that that tells me you have a therapist. So I guess, not knowing the full situation, I would encourage you to do a few things. One is, if you feel like this is a vicious cycle issue, then try and apply some of what I've talked about today to this situation directly. See whether you can interrupt that cycle. If it's an issue of clutter around the washing machine making it difficult, try and address that. But also think about why you haven't told your therapist, and see whether you can look at that. If it's because of shame, maybe you can, if not talk about this directly yet, maybe you can talk with your therapist about the issue of shame. Maybe you can say to them, there's something I feel like I would benefit from talking to you about it, but I feel so much shame that I can't. Maybe you can have that conversation, even if you can't have the laundry conversation yet. But whatever your block is, it's not insurmountable. I can promise you that. Thank you so much for trusting me with your secret. And if you're listening and want to share your secret, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/secret. In just one second, I'll give you my top tip of the week. In the meantime, please do subscribe to the podcast, review it, 5 stars would be amazing, and share it with your friends or anyone who might be interested or who might benefit from it. It all really helps. To find more ways to support the website, the podcast, and my overall dehoarding project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support. Now, back to your top tip. So my top tip this week comes from Amy Morin at the Very Well Mind podcast. And she's talking about setting boundaries, and that is something that a lot of hoarders struggle with. So have a listen.
If you don't typically set boundaries, it might feel like you're being rude or mean. The idea that it's somehow harmful is what keeps a lot of people from creating boundaries in the first place. But setting boundaries is actually a kind thing to do. Instead of tolerating behavior you don't like until you feel really frustrated or you get resentful of the other person, you might say, this is what I need, and then you trust the other person can respect your wishes and remain in your life.
What do you think? How are you with boundaries? Let me know. Okay, thank you for listening, and I will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding podcast. You can find more online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at ThatHoarder, and on Facebook at Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder. To find out more about how you can support this podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to this podcast so you make sure you don't miss any future episodes.
Now on Broadway, An Enemy of the People is a New York Times critic's pick. Jeremy Strong is one of the great actors of his generation, hails the Chicago Tribune in a performance the Wall Street Journal praises as powerfully affecting and bitterly funny. Michael Imperioli sets off sparks, cheers the Hollywood Reporter. Victoria Pedretti is luminous, raves variety. From director Sam Gold and playwright Amy Herzog, An Enemy of the People is urgent, electrifying, and haunting, declares USA Today. An Enemy of the People on Broadway through June 16th only.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.